Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, October 23rd, 2014. It's just after 2 UTC. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with us again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
Did you have an exciting week?
I don't know if I could say exciting. Well, I mean, it's been busy. Well, I'll say that.
On my side, I went back to work after my week off. And, you know, the only thing I can say about that is, I could have used more than a week. You know, I got probably less than half of the stuff done I really wanted to get done during that week. And we mentioned last week, I was sort of taking it easy, too, and not worrying too much about that. But I still get to the point where I'm like, damn it, I wanted to get all that stuff done, you know? So I could have used more time, but you know, whatever. Went back to work. The other excitement is at work we are changing buildings again. So today I had to put the little moving stickers on all my crap at work, and I'll be working from home the rest of the week, and then Monday go to a brand new building.
Well,
and by brand new building, I mean brand new building, like the construction workers left a few weeks ago, kind of brand new building.
You kept saying they were cheap. They built a brand new building.
Oh, they're building all kinds of new buildings. They're building like thousands of buildings. I don't know.
So
that's an exaggeration.
So let me ask a question. Is it nice, the new building?
I don't know. I get to see it for the first time on Monday.
Okay, well, that'd be exciting to know. Okay.
Yeah, so...
We did move to a nice... I gotta say, you know, like, I'm not at headquarters, so, but I got to... We were in a really shitty office building. I mean, the guy who signed that lease... Actually, he was fired. Okay, all right, which is a good reason. I mean, to have re-upped that lease. And I had been bitching about it, and I went... I mean, the thing is, wasn't money. I mean, just the guy that negotiated the lease was just an idiot. Okay, all right. I mean, there were plenty of buildings surrounding us that were 10 times nicer for the same price. So why the hell would you pick this, the worst fucking building? Okay, all right. So I don't know.
Did he have a little side deal going on?
Who knows? It's a good question. I hadn't thought about that. I just thought he was stupid. So anyway, the bottom line is that we went around, got a realtor. You know what? We had the facilities guy come down for corporate, looked at the building and said, oh my God, this is the worst fucking office in the company. Good Lord, we need to move you. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, beautiful. So sat around and whatever and found looked at a few places and I don't know. I guess I pushed for this building that we moved to. You know, very nice, but I like our new office, you know. Quite nice, you know. Everything's, you know, got new everything and new whatever.
It's nice to
it's
have
enjoyable
nice facilities.
To be. Yes, you know, you kind of like want to be there and like enjoy the time with people. You know, when the building, you know, the facilities are very nice. So we put some new cool gadgets and technology. You know, I don't know, like we make smart boards and some other stuff. So we put some of those like around and some other stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, it's kind of neat now.
I can't complain about our current location, you know, and we're moving to a new one, whatever. I'm sure it's going to be nice too. And I think it'll might possibly, you know, save me like 5 minutes on my commute, and I bitch on my commute all the time. So maybe that'll be good. It's within walking distance of the place I've been at. So it's not that far, but you know, it's a long walk, like a 20-minute walk or something.
Okay.
15, maybe 15. Whatever, you know, at this point, like, you know, I've been at my current company almost 9 years. It'll be 9 years in January. And
really?
Yeah.
That long?
That long, yeah.
Wow.
9 years in January. The thing is, you know, I've gotten used to moving at this point. Because it's like, completely aside from like organizational changes and all that kind of crap, physical location changes, moving from one desk to another, sometimes within a building, sometimes to a new building. You know, I've been here 9 years. I bet you I've sat in more than nine, you know, chairs, you know, in terms of where I was physically located.
Well, I will say that I definitely didn't move that much, you know, during all my tenure. I will say that I'll be at my current employer. It'll be 5 years. Amazingly enough, talking about time, it'll be 5 years this December. Okay, all right. I still can't believe it.
I'll tell you, I've only been sitting at my current desk that I've been sitting at right now for maybe 3 months.
I only moved
30 feet from where I was sitting previously, but they still, shuffled things around. So,
well, I only moved once from one office to another in the last 5 years. I moved from the shitty building to the nice building. That's it.
That's nice. Yeah. But like I said, at this point, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Tell me where to sit. I'll sit there. And, if I'm not too happy with it, doesn't really matter. I'm sure I'll be sitting somewhere else in 9 months. So whatever. Yeah. So anyway.
So we do have
things to talk about today.
We have things.
Of course, there was a little incident on Wednesday the 22nd in Ottawa, Canada, and we'll talk about that. We've got a little bit less than 2 weeks as we record this until the November elections, and everybody's talking about the Senate, and a few people are talking about governor and blah blah blah, and of course there's local stuff too, but we actually have
a very entertaining gubernatorial race down here. They put the debate on CNN. For Florida governor. I was like, wait a minute, what the hell, it's on CNN? I'm like, really?
Anyway, so we'll talk about election stuff. We actually did get some feedback last week, and somebody mentioned, Bruce, who, one of our loyal listeners, mentioned that they were really liking the economic updates, the weekly economic updates. So we'll do another one this week. We're not promising we'll do it every week. It depends what's going on, but,
depends on what's going on, right? But there's some stuff going on.
There's some stuff. So we'll do that. And then, slamming it towards the end of the show so that people who don't care can drop off, Apple. There was another Apple announcement last week where they announced some new products and blah blah blah, and in addition, their earnings and stuff, which maybe we'll cover that in the economy stuff. But anyway, that's the plan. So anything else before we jump into everything, Yvonne?
Nope, that's pretty much it.
Okay, then let's take a quick break. And then we will be right back and jump in with what's going on in Ottawa. Back after this.
This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show. Which, I think I do okay, but, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind. And maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne, if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show.
Okay. So, now I want to caveat before we really get into this discussion that even though the main event that happened here was, as we record this, I don't know, 12 hours ago, maybe 10 hours ago, something like that, it's still an evolving event. The picture is still not entirely clear of what was going on and what happened, and is there still more that's unknown and blah, blah, blah. So we are, anybody listening to this will know more than we do. But with those caveats, There was a guy who started by shooting a guard at a war memorial in Ottawa, which is, of course, the capital of Canada. He proceeded to run from there to the Parliament building for Canada, and there was more gunfire there, and he was eventually subdued, as I understand it.
Subdued? He was killed. Shot?
Yes. Well, that's one way to subdue people.
Well, I guess I take subdued with, you know, look, there was a new White House jumper to
subdue. Yeah, that happened. He was also
subdued.
But he was not killed. Yes, yes.
He was not killed.
Subdued with prejudice?
Yes, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, so he ain't never doing anything again.
In any case, they shot him. They shot him and killed him. As I understand it, the one guard was killed and three other people were injured. And that's the latest I heard. I don't know if you've heard an initial update. And there was a lot of confusion about whether or not there were more shooters in more locations.
Right. And it was determined there's no more shooters. And apparently they identified the guy just a little bit before we started recording. He was called Michael Zihaf Bedeau.
Yeah, that was a few hours ago, actually.
A guy who apparently converted to Islam, and apparently they had seized his travel document in Canada because he had a plan to fly overseas, and it seemed like he wanted to join the jihad.
And apparently also I saw something, and this is unconfirmed. I saw it on Twitter literally minutes ago, someone saying that they also apparently his mother is an official in Canada's immigration department.
Oh, boy. Well, I guess she was probably, maybe that's one of the reasons why they stopped them so easily, I guess.
I don't know. But they have now confirmed no additional shooters, correct? Because that was back and forth all day.
As far as I understand, it's confirmed no additional shooters.
And I actually tweeted, because sometimes when there's a breaking news event, I've been one of the ones jumping right in and retweeting every single rumor I see and blah, blah, blah. But today, this was playing out while I was at work. I only retweeted one thing, which was, I think it was from on the media has sort of a guideline for breaking news stuff that they have a little image that they put out that basically says, hey, if there's a breaking news event, keep the following things in mind. And I think this is they have 9 points, and I'm actually going to give the 9 points for breaking
news.
Number one, in the immediate aftermath, news outlets will get it wrong. So in the immediate aftermath of this, there were reports that there were three separate locations,
simultaneous.
Three different shooters, blah, blah, blah. No, guess what? One of those was completely false. The other two were one guy running from one to the other. Number two, don't trust anonymous sources. Number three, don't trust stories that cite another news outlet as the source. Number four, there's almost never a second shooter. Number five, pay attention to the language the media uses. We are getting reports could mean absolutely anything. We are seeking confirmation means they don't actually have confirmation. Some other news outlet has learned means that it has a scoop or it's going out on a limb of some sort. Also, look for news outlets close to the incident. So in this case, be paying attention to the reporters in Ottawa, not, some random thing on CNN or Fox.
Okay.
Number seven, compare multiple sources. Number eight, big news brings out fakers and Photoshoppers, so beware. And number nine, beware of reflexive retweeting. Some of this is on you. So
kind of like the missile hitting into the Pentagon and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, so like, and another guideline that people have said on these kinds of things, and I've repeated in the past before, is also whenever you have something like this, there's a lot of dynamic things going on. Take anything you hear in the first few hours with, a massive bucket of salt, And anything you hear even in the first 24 hours with a healthy dose of skepticism, the real picture tends to not come out for days, sometimes weeks. You know, and you know, one of the things that we decided not to put on the agenda today, there's been some new Ferguson news with, you know, more stuff leaking out from the grand jury and stuff like this that refines the picture of what was going on there on the day of. And we'll probably never know really what happened exactly. But the point is that what you see from a month or 2 months distance generally has more subtlety and more detail than anything you're hearing sort of while things are fresh, you know. So, and that applies to almost any kind of breaking news event. But obviously, you know, we're going to talk about what we know at the time, but you still have to, you know, interpret things appropriately.
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, I've heard this already being said multiple times, especially now in the era of instant Twitter and everything and all sorts of things, right? I mean, that, you know, because, I mean, news media gets really goaded into almost just talking, even though they may know that whatever the hell they're going to talk about is wrong, just because they don't want to get beat. You know, it's just, mm-hmm. It's just the nature of the beast, like, right now. Yeah, I was just remembering the other day, like, about how you get stuff now. 20, 25 years ago, right? You know, before we had all of this stuff, now that we've got, you know, I used to wait until 7 o'clock. Okay, so ESPN would show their NFL show on Sunday, because without that, you had no idea what the hell the damn scores to any of the games were. You wouldn't know. You know, one. There was no internet. There's no nothing. I mean, you know, the paper would come out the next day. I mean, unless you were just sitting there glued to that, you know, you wouldn't know. And there was no 10 different outlets. Now, you know, by the time that something like that comes on, you already know the story. You already know the score. You already know what happened. You know, the rest is just filler around it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're trying to be breaking now, they got to freaking, like, you know, I think they feel, all of them feel under the gun to just say whatever the hell they've got, like, right now.
Well, and you know, honestly,
we'll just correct it later.
Well, yeah, and honestly, like, you know, people like that. I mean, I like that. I mean, I'm not watching any of the cable news networks anymore. I've sort of broken that habit. But when live events are going on like this, I am watching Twitter. I am looking at every rumor. I am seeing right. that, oh, they're saying this or they're saying that. Oh, what's going on now? What's going on this minute as opposed to what was going on 3 minutes ago? And I am watching that kind of stuff. However, like I said, you have to do it with the right mindset. The mindset is, this is a chaotic jumble. You're going to hear all kinds of things. You know, a significant portion of what you're hearing right now will be wrong, and you know, the truth will slowly come out of this over the next hours and days and sometimes longer. You know, okay, so with all that said,
right,
the actual event and what's going on, I saw you know, a few people saying, you know, I forget, it was one of the guys on MSNBC or something posted, you know, something like, in that awkward moment where you're waiting to hear the religion of the shooter before knowing how big a story this is.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And it's like, really? I mean, it's very
but
true.
You know what the
it's
worst thing true. Is?
It's very true, unfortunately.
It is.
But you know,
it is, unfortunately.
You know, but I don't think anybody, well, I don't know. We have yet to see. Like, is this, I think you're probably going to find that this is the same kind of thing as the Boston bombing, where this is some guy who may have been, quote unquote, inspired by something
well,
that's
actually,
going.
Well, actually, I just saw in the Canadian Broadcasting Company website they have a picture that apparently was tweeted by ISIS of the guy holding a shooting through a machine gun. Through an ISIS account.
Yes. Well, yeah, I don't know. Like,
and this was apparently not today.
Right. So there are a lot of questions. I mean, who knows? But one of the things we'll find out is, you know, was he operating under quote unquote orders from some larger organization?
Probably not. Probably.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Probably,
like,
the guy
Even if the guy was, let's say, you know, corresponding on Twitter with known ISIS accounts, or he was, you know, posting on jihadi discussion boards online or whatever, I think fundamentally it's, I, I, you know, I'm going out on a limb here. I'd say 90% chance that the guy wasn't operating as some part of some grand scheme where somebody else was giving him orders to do X, Y, Z. No, he's just like, okay, I agree with all these guys. I want to cause some mischief. I think I can do it this way. I'm going to go out and do it. You know, and you know, and people are going to get all worked up about it. The Prime Minister of Canada already gave a speech to the people of Canada about we will not be intimidated, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it's horrible for the one person who died, of course. But the thing you got to remember with all of these cases is, okay, one person died. It was one guy who went around shooting people, injured one guy, killed one guy, injured three more, and then was killed himself.
Yep.
It's not necessarily something that, you know, everybody should.
Well, let's face it, the guy was trying to do a lot more damage. Obviously,
he wasn't. Well, you know, a lot of people try to do a lot of things, but I think one of the things that we've seen over and over and over again is, I mean, with you know, a couple obvious exceptions of 9/11 and what was it, 7/7 in Europe? Was it? The one in Spain or the one in London? Well, I guess there were both. There's the one in Spain, the one in London, and of course the one in New York are the three big ones.
What about Oklahoma City?
Well, yes. Yeah, I was going for the international angle here, but yes, absolutely Oklahoma City. But the thing that stands
9/11 first.
Yeah, I said 9/11 first. Yeah, the thing that stands out is there are relatively few of these that are quote unquote massively successful from the point of view of creating large amounts of damage. And if we talk fully internationally, of course, we can mention a whole bunch more in other countries.
But it's not because of a lack of trying. I mean, let's face it,
most of the attempts fizzle out horribly and they don't actually accomplish their goals. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not trying to. They absolutely are trying to. But most of the time, they kind of suck. I mean, even the Boston guys, you know, they injured a lot of people and they killed a couple people, but they didn't end up like, you know, killing hundreds of people. You know, and I'm not saying I wish they had, obviously. It's good that they're incompetent.
Well, they injured quite a lot. They did injure quite a few. Because one of the things about that was that the way that they built it, I mean, they really inflicted quite massive damage to a lot of people. Yes. Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's the reason why I think that was that big. I mean, because you know, it's like, but you know, the thing about everything is like, you know, not just the number of people killed, but the difficulty and high visibility. Let's face it. If somebody walked into, you know, a mall and started shooting, it's that's not as guarded, for example. But you know what? Somebody walks into a parliament building, that's another story. Okay, you know, I just think that, you know, depending on the target, depending on the visibility. I mean, I guess I have to say this. I mean, unfortunately, you know, it's my compatriots, but, you know, look, a group of Puerto Rican terrorists over 50 years ago, they broke into the house and shot up the place. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I can't remember if they killed or injured people, but they were actually arrested and thrown in jail for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we've had that happen here. I mean, let's listen, we had the idiot that broke into the White House not that long ago.
Yep.
He didn't injure anybody or shoot anybody. Apparently he wasn't, you know, armed other than with like stupidity, but you know,
my point on all of these is not to, you know, minimize what they actually are, but I say this every time that happens, but we have to be careful to treat it with the appropriate amount of proportionality and not just go wacko nuts crazy because we've been attacked. There will always be some attacks. There will always be, you know, terrorism is not something that you can, terrorism, crime, any of these things are not something you can get to a zero level. There will always be something. And we have to make sure that when something does happen, we we respond appropriately, but don't act rashly and end up causing more problems than we solve through the reaction. And the analogy I always use is an allergic reaction, where, you know, in human beings, an allergic reaction is where, you know, there is actually some sort of external irritant that's happening, but the body overreacts to that stimulus and ends up causing more problems to the person with the allergy than the original thing would have caused at all. And I think that's the continuous danger whenever we have things like this, is because, and this is why terrorism is, you know, a tactic that's used over and over again.
Well, it has a lot of impact.
Is because, you know, people respond disproportionately to it because of the fear. Because, and we talked about this with Ebola the last couple of weeks, but, you know, people don't react sort of with a rational, oh, you know, it was one person killed out of however many, it's a relatively small risk. You know, I'm at much greater risk walking across the street or driving my car. That's not how people think or react emotionally. People think and react by, oh my God, here's an unusual event. I'm not used to this happening. This scares the fuck out of me. And then when people are scared, they do all kinds of crazy things.
Well, they do. They totally do. We are the land of the great overreactors. What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, and I don't know what'll happen here. I mean, we've had other, you know, we didn't go into some sort of crazy meltdown after Boston. We caught the guy. The guy's on trial. Nothing really new, you know, developed there. You know, it's
yeah, for the Ebola, I mean, I don't know. Apparently,
that's dying down. He's
finally calmed down. Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, good Lord. I mean, I had to deal with, I don't know if I mentioned this, I had to deal with somebody who was like having a irrational meltdown trying to bar somebody from renting a place because they came from Nigeria. I had to explain, hey, idiot, you know, Nigeria is Ebola free, you freaking moron. It's in Liberia. Jeez.
Yeah. And you know, look, it's undoubtedly true on the Ebola side that, you know, the hospital in Texas that had this one case screwed up on a bunch of different things. But everybody learned from that. And, you know, things are pretty much under control.
You know, I mean, what they did now is they decided that they went, well, you know, if you're coming over from the countries that are exposed, you have to go through connect or fly. You know, I guess you have to, you know, you have to, point of entry has to be through 5 airports that are specifically screening. You know, I mean, there's a lot worse reactions I've seen to other stuff before. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So that's going. So I don't know if anything will come out of this. I mean, and as you said, one of the important questions will be, you know, is this really, you know, a lone guy that may have been influenced by whatever, like I said, I think is probably the case? Or is it actually more organized than that? If it is more organized than that, there's maybe a little bit more to worry about because, you know, is this the first of many?
I just don't think so. I mean, I just think, you know, it seems like from, you know, what it was one guy and, you know, based on, of course, this is the snap reaction, as we all want to do.
As we talked about at the beginning.
Right, but it just seems like it was just, you know, a guy that, you know, they pulled, you know, he had been in trouble with the law a lot. They pulled his travel permit.
He had drug issues.
Passport. He had drug issues, a whole bunch of stuff, and he just popped off and said, fuck it, you know. I'm doing a high impact, you know, thing. And that's it. You know?
Done. Yeah, I mean, I think this kind of attack, this particular thing, I mean, yes, okay, he had recently converted to Islam. He may have been somewhat radicalized. But frankly, I think it has a lot more in common with, like, the guy who went in and shot up a movie theater than it has with, like, 9/11.
Agreed. I totally agree with that. Yep. So, yeah, unfortunate, but, you know, I don't feel bad about it, but, you know, it's one of those things that just, yeah, and happens and you know, will happen again.
And by the time you guys listen to this show, you might know that we are completely and totally wrong, and this was actually part of a massive conspiracy.
And that we're all dead by now.
And we're all screwed, but, you know, yeah. Anyway, let's take a break. We will come back and we'll talk election 2014 for a little while. Back after this.
Hey, you, listeners. We know you have thoughts about the stuff we say here on Curmudgeon's Corner. You probably think we're completely wrong about many things. Or perhaps you want to tell us that we're geniuses. That's always great. Or perhaps you just want to suggest a topic for us to talk about. All of these things are wonderful. We love to hear from you. So talk to us. If you prefer email, just email Sam. That's me, your prime curmudgeon, at abulsme@abulsme.com. That's spelled A-B-U-L-S-M-E. Or tweet at us. I'm at abulsme, and Yvonne is at imbo. That's I-M-B-O-U. And while we may not do it every time, don't be surprised if we respond to you right here on the show during an upcoming episode. Thanks, everybody. We'll be looking for your email and tweets, so get right on that.
And here we are. Election. Election 2014. Look, the bottom line from all of the forecasters I've been following is while it's still in toss-up territory, the movement has been in the Republican direction over the last few weeks. So, you know, the Republicans are looking a little bit better here. I mean, it's still, we're talking like, you know, 70-30 chances or 60-40 or something like that. So the Republicans have an advantage, but they don't have it locked up. However, almost all of the models have the Republicans looking better today than they did a couple weeks ago, which may indicate that things are sort of starting to fall their way. And if that trend continues, then, you know, by the time we get to Election Day, we might be talking that they have a 90% chance instead of like a 60 or 65% chance or whatever. So it yeah, absolutely. If I had to bet today, I bet the Republicans take the Senate. Would I be shocked if the Democrats hold it? No, I wouldn't be shocked. It really could still go either way. But you know, one of the things that, you know, Yvonne and I have talked about before is that how much of a difference is it really going to make? You know, given that, you know, the reality of the Senate over the last few years is that, you know, you've needed a 60-vote majority anyway to get much of anything done.
Right, and nobody's had that since I can't remember.
Well, it was right before Kennedy died. That's how healthcare got passed.
I mean, but even like when they've had a large enough majority where they had a couple of other guys, you know what I'm saying?
Even when the Democrats had a 60-vote majority in 2009 and 2010, it was hard to get all 60 Democrats on the same page.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was.
Yeah, so but the reality since then is that you know, there's been very little movement on most issues, and because the Republicans can block whatever they want. And if we flip to the Republicans having a slight advantage, well, guess what? The Democrats can block anything they want, and not to mention the veto. And so the main difference, of course, will be that the Republicans will be able to control the agenda and what actually gets, you know, brought up for discussion in the first place. And so you might see a bit different character on, you know, what's going on in the Senate. But in terms of things actually happening and laws getting passed and things like that, you're not going to see much of a difference.
Well, it can
make a difference in terms of appointments and things like that. If we remember. Well, and also, of course, there's the precedent that the Democrats exercised the nuclear option on certain confirmation processes. But now that they've set the precedent that the nuclear option can be used, theoretically, the Republicans could use it to open up anything else they feel like to only need a 50-vote margin.
Now, yeah, but here's one thing. What I was going to say is that you know, not for nothing, but historically, I think in the last, like, I don't know, 20 years, there's been more done when the president's been on one party and both the House and Senate have been in the other party than the other way around.
You know, and I used to say that all the time. Like, I pointed to the last half of the Clinton administration specifically.
Well, look at the last half of the Bush administration. Well, think about that. Look, all the stuff that the financial bailout, the crisis, all the other stuff and whatever. I mean, that really happened with them. So, you know, it's just every time I've seen like this kind of division, it's never worked. Now, what I've seen, both the Senate and the House and the other party and the president and the other one, it seemed to be, you know, that more stuff happened.
Well, because I guess the way you can sort of psychologically say that is if one party controls all of the Congress, even if the president is on the other side, they sort of feel more of the, hey, let's get something done kind of thing. The other factor that may be a part of this is the lame duck president. I mean, all right. of the examples we just talked about are cases where the president is no longer up for re-election, and we're essentially in the last Congress of their administration.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, maybe it doesn't hurt quite as much to sort of make a few deals along the side because, you know, this guy's going to be gone anyway.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if that plays out and we get, you know, a little bit more activity out of the Congress over the next 2 years if the Republicans take over the Senate as well. I don't know. I think that I can see your argument there, but I think the environment is a little bit different than it was in either the Clinton or Bush administrations. And I honestly think.
Well, what do you think is the biggest difference? I mean, the parties are more polarized. Yeah, I get that. I think the
primary difference is the Republicans made a conscious decision at the beginning of the Obama administration that their fundamental strategy would be make sure the president can't get credit for doing anything. And then he will suffer by that. In the first 4 years, they were hoping that would result in a Republican president. Since then, it didn't.
So they still
hope it'll hurt the Democrats. You know, whether, you know, because they can say, look, the Democrats have been in power.
So the strategy has failed miserably, and you're telling me that you think they're going to double down.
I don't think they're going to double down, but I don't think they're going to change. I don't think they're going to, they're not going to make it worse, but I think they're just going to continue along with the, you know, let's just plot along. I think if the Republicans take over the Senate, what they will have is a much bigger ability to grandstand, and they may make a point of working to push through various things that the president will be forced to veto. Now, in order to do that, they may have to do more shenanigans on the filibuster, since the Republicans are not going to have 60 votes no matter what they do. But I could see them pushing more things that say, you know, that they're going to say, well, we tried to fix this problem, but the Democrats stopped us, whether it be through a Democratic filibuster or through a veto or whatever, and do that more and more. Because right now, what they can say is the Democrats tried to do whatever and we stopped them. And a few things, the House has tried to do a few things here and there, but without the Senate along, it wasn't as effective. But now they can potentially have things where they say, look, both the House and the Senate are potentially ready to do this. We have majority votes in both houses, but the Democrats are stopping us. We are actually trying to solve this problem and they are stopping us. And I think, they can do that. But that strategy is only successful if you don't actually come up with something that the Democrats will also get on board with.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Who knows what the, I mean, I'm just speculating. I mean, I think, well, you know, every time I keep saying it can't get worse, you know, they figure out a way to make it go worse. So,
okay, you meant enough about the Senate.
Yeah. So
it's still a toss up, but definitely leaning toward the Republicans at this point.
Now, the governor's race in my state turned quite entertaining. I mean, it's hilarious, to be honest.
Yeah, so tell us more.
Well, no, I mean, what I was saying is, I don't know if you've seen any of this, the fireworks from our two guys. I mean, these guys, I mean, so they've had a number of debates. And, I mean, good God almighty, the debates have been just, I mean, it's the kind of mudslinging and insults and yelling and just name calling and just, I mean, just everything and everything you can think of. I mean, I've just never seen anything like it, man. I mean, it's like the worst mudslinging I've ever seen to a certain extent. It's just entertaining to a certain extent to watch them just go at it so badly. I mean, I don't know. Now, you got to understand something. So the two candidates, right? So we've got Charlie Crist. Charlie Crist used to be governor of the state of Florida and used to be a Republican. Okay, uh-huh. All right? He switched to a Democrat. And now you got Rick Scott, who's the guy that won after, because he had decided to run for one of the Senate seats that was vacated in Florida. He didn't win the seat. Okay, all right? And, you know, then this guy, Rick Scott, who is close to being a billionaire, got the governorship. Now, Rick Scott was a guy that he was a CEO of a very big healthcare company, and when he was CEO, I mean, they got indicted for fraud, okay, and they had to pay a multi-billion-dollar, I think, at least hundreds of millions of dollars settlement to settle those claims, okay, for over that. And so he got a lot of publicity about that. And, you know, the guy, you know, they have this video of the guy that's been played over and over. He was on they were deposing him for this lawsuit, okay, regarding this. And the guy pleaded the fifth 75 times, okay, all right. I mean, the guy couldn't even answer, so what do you engage in business? Why are you here? The guy just refused to answer just about everything. So, you know, it's just been quite the, you know, what I'm just shocked by it. And apparently it's getting a lot of publicity. The debate was on CNN on national television. I mean, it's for the state of Florida. I was surprised they put it on CNN. I guess there's nothing really better to cover at this point. I guess they got over the Ebola thing at CNN. So, yeah, they could go back to the plane coverage. I thought, you know, it was kind of funny that, you know, that they skipped that. But I don't know, but I was complaining about civility and discussion and whatnot. I mean, this thing takes that to a whole new level of just downright ugliness. I mean, there was no real discussion of issues. The only reason to watch a debate is just to watch these guys, to how many insults they could hurl at each other, okay? All right? And how much insulting they could achieve, okay, in that span, I guess. I don't know. It's like, it just seems, it'll be interesting to see who wins, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's like,
the polls have it pretty close at the moment. I haven't
been very, very tight. Too close to call. Too close to call. That's where it is. No. So, I don't know. If you ask me who do I think is going to win, I don't know.
Yeah,
I really don't know.
I'm looking. Huffington Post currently has it at right at 50-50 chance of winning.
Yeah.
You know, the other close governor races, Alaska, 51-49.
Is Sarah Palin running again?
No, but the recordings of them being interviewed by the police after that brawl came out this week too.
Oh, the brawl. So how were those? Was those hilarious? You know,
I honestly couldn't bring myself to listen to them. I read.
That would have been funny at least. You know, it's not for the. That's just the entertainment value, really, of those.
Yeah. And let's see. What else is choice? Connecticut is 50-50 too. Illinois 54-46, Kansas 53-47, Massachusetts 50-50, Maine 54-46, Michigan 49-41, Rhode Island 49-41. So there are a whole bunch of really close states and governor races as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they're also ones that are, you know, aren't close. Like, you know, New York, the Democrat has a 99% chance of winning in New York.
Yeah, 99%?
99%.
That's pretty good.
That's Cuomo versus Astorino. You haven't even heard of him. 1% chance of winning. meanwhile, on the other side of it, Iowa, Branstad, the Republican, has a 100% chance of winning against Hatch. You know,
100%.
100%.
This is not even 99%. This guy is 100%. This guy's a lock. 100% guaranteed. Unless the guy gets hit by a bus on the way to the thing, he could win even if he's dead. I've seen that happen, I guess. Yeah,
that has happened occasionally.
Yes, that has happened. So I guess the guy could even win, you know, even dead. Great.
Yeah, but let's see. The governor states that where the winning candidate has, or the leading candidate has less than a 75% chance. Colorado, the Democrat, 61%. Hawaii, the Democrat, 60%. Rhode Island, the Democrat, 59%. Maine, 54%. Illinois, 54%. Kansas, 53%. Then Alaska, it's an independent who has 51%. Then, like I said, Connecticut and Florida, both 50-50. And then we have Republican advantage in Massachusetts, but very slight. It's 50-50. Wisconsin, Republican advantage, 56%. Michigan, Republican advantage, 59%. Georgia, Republican advantage, 61%. And that's it. Those are the close races. But that's a lot of close races. That's, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13 close states. You know?
You know, one of the, and you know, we talked about this, especially in the second terms and the midterms. I mean, they all get killed, and I get that. It's just, I don't know why, it just always happens. It happened to every time I recall one of these elections. You know, but I keep thinking, okay, because even with Clinton, the economy was booming, and he was getting killed.
Well, okay, all right. And part of the dynamics is just the lower turnout you typically get on midterms.
That's
and
true. So you get them very. That's true.
It's yeah. Typically in midterms, it's the people who are really riled up who bother to go, and the people who are currently in charge, generally, you know, for whatever reason, psychologically, they're like, eh, whatever. Whereas the people who are upset that they're not in power are all riled up and wanting to vote.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think we're going to be in for a lot of surprises. I think that the turnout is important, especially because of midterm election, which is why I with the polling, I just don't trust as much as I would at another time. So, I don't know. I know what the polling says, but you know, regarding the chances that the Republicans will take the Senate, but I still, you know, always like with these, it's just the turnout is going to be really the determining factor of what the hell happens.
And again, like on the Senate models, you know, and this is the thing that I've had people, have. A number of people have pointed this out, and I have before, but people tend to, when these people say, okay, so-and-so has a 60% chance of winning or 70% chance of winning or whatever, people mentally round that up to 100%. And that's just wrong. You know, if right now 538's Senate model says Republicans have a 66% chance of winning the majority, that still means... You know, if you could somehow run this election three times, one of those three times, the Democrats would win.
I know. I know.
And so you got to think, it's hard to think probabilistically, but, you know, 66% chance that the Republicans win does not mean they have it all locked up.
They have
still
a lock.
There's all sorts of things that could still happen.
There's so many variables in this thing that I'm just like, you know.
They absolutely positively have an advantage. And if you were going to bet, you would bet on the Republicans.
If I would put money, I would put money on the Republicans winning like right now. But I mean, if I were, if you're forcing me, hey, Ivan, you got to put money down on this. I'd be like, shit, I guess I'm going to put money on the Republicans. But. Well, I will tell you this. I wouldn't lay all my money on it.
The whole idea of putting odds like this is if you had the appropriate odds that corresponded to a 66-34 split, and then you would break even on the bet.
Right.
You know, that's how odds are supposed to work. Now, the one last thing to say on the Senate before we move on to another topic, I'm still crossing my fingers for the situation where the one independent guy gets to decide, and it's all on him.
I thought you were going to say that this guy from TV, The Situation, was going to be in the Senate, but I guess
No. The one independent in what is it, Kansas? He's in Kansas. If I am still hoping beyond hope for the situation where. It all comes down to him, and he gets to decide who controls the Senate. And apparently, he used to be a Democrat, so everybody assumes if it really is up to him, he'll pick Democrat. Although he said if there's a clear majority, he'll caucus with the majority, whoever it is. But they assume that he'll probably go Democrat if it's up to him. But I would hope that he wouldn't make it that easy. But instead, he would go to every side and say, okay, what are you going to give me?
What are you offering me?
What are you offering me? What do I get if I go with your
hookers?
Side?
Is that a lot of hookers every week, every month, every year?
No. I was thinking more policy things, but whatever.
Oh, policy. Okay, well, whatever floats your boat. You know, I mean,
Or having him change his mind every month. And go back and forth for the next 2 years. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome, you know?
That would be so much fun. If every month, okay, flipping control again. Thank you very much.
Walking over to the Republican side. No, the hell with it today. I'm going with the Democrats. Fuck it. What the hell?
Exactly. That would be wonderful. That would be so much fun.
That would be interesting.
So that's the situation I'm open for, but you know, I'm not likely to get that. But that would be so much fun. Okay. Yeah, I know.
Well,
let's take a break. We'll be back and we'll talk economy. Back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, here we are. We're back, and here's the little intro. Okay, Yvonne, what's going on in the economy this week?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It was real, you know, everybody. We're talking about the stock market was going crazy the last couple of weeks, but they've calmed down to a certain extent. Some profit reports came out, and people were like, "Oh yeah, things are not so bad, I guess. Okay, we can all just fucking like calm down for a little bit." But a couple of things. A couple of earnings reports that came out this week that were interesting. So, look, Apple announced basically that they blew out their earnings. Okay, all right. So people were like, "Whoa." Wow, I guess Apple's not dead, you know, since a few people. Well, not like there was that bad. I mean, the stock was very close to an all-time high when this was announced, so now it's gone over their all-time high at this point. But at the same time, Google announced disappointing earnings, and so did IBM. And, you know, Google, it's not that they didn't have growth. They had growth, but as everything, as we've talked about before, everything was related to ads, and ad revenue, the pricing.
They're not making tons of money off the self-driving cars yet?
Nope, they're not making money on the self-driving cars or on the Google Maps or on the Google this or on the Google that or everything else that they make. Wait, you know,
Google Plus is not like a massive.
It's not a money making juggernaut. Oh, now here's one thing that they were talking about that's been encroaching on their revenue on Google Ads. It's a little company called
What has? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
There's a company that has a product out there that has been encroaching on their. Under ad revenue.
Okay, who's
it's
that?
A little company called Facebook.
Ah, yeah, those guys.
Yep. Apparently, there's been quite a lot of companies that have been taking their money and deciding that they may better, you know, invest some of their ad. I'm not saying that they're taking all their advertising revenue away from Google, but given how many users and things and how they could put targeted ads and so forth and whatever, they're, you know, it may be a benefit to put some money over there. Imagine that. And so that's been something that's been going on where money's been shifting over to Facebook. And heck, if you use Twitter, I take it you've noticed that there's a hell of a lot more ads on Twitter than you
I have
too.
Still yet to notice a single ad ever on Twitter. I don't use the Twitter website. I use...
I guarantee you something, that at some point, because they need to make money, you will not be able to do what you're doing.
Yeah, well, and also, I don't know the volume they do. I mean, I'm following something like, I don't know, well over 1,000 people at this point. So, like, I get a new tweet comes in every couple seconds on my feed.
And believe me, they're doing placement. You're not going to be able to miss it.
I'm sure they will be more and more aggressive. I mean, they wanted to kill all the clients other than their own a long time ago.
I think eventually they will. I mean, I don't see how, you know, you can have a business model with what they're trying to do and, like, letting everybody just use the clients unless the clients show their ads.
And I thought they had to, but I can't definitively say I have ever seen a Facebook ad. I mean, a Twitter ad.
That's
I mean, and maybe I have, and I just haven't realized that's what I was seeing. They're also experimenting with you know, other things to, you know, insert tweets into your feed that the people you follow have favorited and other stuff like that. But I actually haven't noticed it
yet. I've seen some of that shit too. Yeah, I definitely have, no doubt about it.
And see, I haven't actually noticed that either, but maybe I didn't notice. Maybe it was there.
Maybe now you'll start paying a little bit more attention.
Well, and also, like I said, the fact that I use a third-party client may also have something to do about it, because I definitely, the experience of actually going to, like, the Twitter website or using the Twitter app is definitely different, and they try to shove things at you in a different way.
Yes.
And so it may well be that those things are, you know, a lot more obvious in the native Twitter experience. But yeah, you know, I just, for whatever reason, with the way I look at Twitter, I haven't noticed it yet. But obviously, they are set up as a money making enterprise. They went public. They, as much as I wish Twitter was just a nonprofit like Wikipedia or whatever, in fact, they're a money making enterprise, which means they're, one way or another, they're going to shove ads in my face.
Well, they got to make money somehow. I mean, let's face it.
I wish they would just ask me to pay a subscription. I would.
I know that you would, but a lot of people just don't want to.
A lot of people wouldn't, but, you know, I would take the option. If they offered me $5 to $10 a month for Twitter, I would pay that. Now, would I pay 20 or 30? Probably not, but I would pay.
How much would you pay?
I would pay 5 to 10 a month for Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. It is now a core element of my daily experience for following what's going on in the world. I would pay 5 to 10 a month without thinking about it. If they made it 20, I would have to think hard about it, but I might go for it anyway. Above that, probably not.
Huh.
But I would pay 5 to 10 without even thinking about it per month.
Interesting.
For Twitter.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I know that.
Now, I would not pay for Facebook. Like, I get value every day out of Twitter. If Facebook disappeared tomorrow, I wouldn't miss it.
I guess I wouldn't pay for Facebook.
Well, you know, I would miss it a little bit because I get more I get more of the actual stuff from people I know and news about their families and stuff.
Yeah,
from Facebook.
I know. I mean,
Facebook
I would
visit, is so full of other crap at this point. I'd be like, if they went away, those people will find some other way to.
Yeah, we'll use Instagram or something or whatever in order to share some stuff. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. So here's the other thing that begs a question. IBM, right?
Yeah.
3 years of declining revenues. As we know, they sold their PC business a hell of a long time ago. They had sold their low-end server business to Lenovo also relatively recently. They actually just announced, together with their earnings, they're actually getting out of chip manufacturing as well, which used to be one of their cornerstones. I mean, for many of you remember for years, I mean, you know, Macs Power were PC. Powered by Power, made Power PCs that were made by IBM. There's a big alliance between IBM and Apple in order to build those chips. Now they're getting out of that business as well. They still make software, but a lot of the software that they do is they've bought a lot of software companies. They have a lot of back-end
database.
What
happened to that deal they made with Apple just a few months ago?
I mean, I don't know. They're not breaking out results or revenue based on those.
But, I mean, has anybody heard anything about that since the announcement that it was happening?
As a matter of fact, Tim Cook was talking about it in the earnings announcement. He was saying how they have generated a certain synergy. And I have seen certain things on happening at customers related to this a little bit. Okay, all right. Okay. The people that I've talked to. I've noticed a couple of things. I mean, so obviously there is some action, but you know, my experience with a lot of those alliances that, you know, there's a lot of hyperbole at the high end, and especially having worked with IBM a lot, their execution leaves a lot to be desired. So but I probably shouldn't have said that. But anyway. I mean, my thing about the whole thing with IBM is just that, I mean, let's face it, most of their revenue is services and consulting, man. I mean, I know that they still spend a lot of money on research and basic research, which is a lot of stuff that people don't pay a lot of money for. Okay, all right. I mean, if I remember their last R&D, they're still over $6 billion a year. And I know that a lot of it went to basic research. And this is the kind of stuff. It's not the stuff that happens in Silicon Valley anymore. It used to happen like at the old HP labs and that kind of stuff. It's the stuff like, for example, doing breakthroughs in like optical storage, for example, or other technologies like that. Do you think that people still place a value on like that kind of basic research at that level versus? I don't know, the innovation that now we see out of Silicon Valley, which is really more the stuff like apps and Uber and Lyft and Airbnb and
the fundamental problem with that kind of, you know, sort of fundamental low-level R&D and R&D on hardware and stuff like that is you're talking about really long time frames to monetize anything from it. You know,
yeah, I mean, you know, I'll give you an example.
The market is all ADD at this point. Like they only care about the next couple months. If you're working on something that may have a significant impact 5 to 10 years down the line or longer, people are like, yeah, whatever. Talk to me then.
And I will say this. Here's the thing about this. I mean, you're totally right, because I remember, for example, when I worked at HP, okay? In the 90s, you know, they announced the breakthrough that they did with converting LED lighting for lighting.
Right.
Okay? This is basic research that came out of HP Labs, okay? All right, to use it for now, which and that division was split off and bought by Philips, and then Philips is the one that really did a lot of the work in like making this into a commercial product later on, and then other companies, you know, licensed it, patented, copied, whatever the innovation. But the one thing is that, let's face it, that was something that, yes, I mean, talk about the value of that basic research that was done by HP back then, huge, okay? But like you said, I mean, we're talking, I mean, you know, that people are putting LED lights in their, now it's, what is it, 15 years later, 16 years later? And let's face it, they're not even making a revenue off of that anymore. They're not even in that business. So I know, but that basic research to me, you know, is the stuff that really pays off to make big things and dramatic changes to our lives in the future is what I think. And I mean, if we just really just don't invest in that and we just do all this other nonsense, I mean, it just doesn't, you know. There's got to be both, I guess, is my point.
Well, yeah, I mean, and, you know, there's certainly all kinds of cool things that have happened, you know, that there are all kinds of apps on my phone that, you know, somebody developed, you know, or some company developed or whatever that provide value to me every day. But, you know, the device itself, obviously, the iPhone was a result of years of skunkwork R&D before they released it to the public, and you have to have some element of that to sort of make the big leaps forward. And this sort of fundamental R&D, where you're not even talking about designing a product, you're designing an underlying technology that you're not even sure how you'll use it in real life. The it's even harder to see those. Now, obviously, this varies by industry. I mean, if we talk pharmaceuticals, they're used to long lead times.
Oh yeah, they totally are.
You but know, even there, and
yeah, no, absolutely.
And there are other types of industries that by their very nature have to be longer term, and you know, and of course those are often, you know, nobody talks every day about, oh my god, what's Merck doing today, you know, in the same way that they talk about, you know, what Apple and Google and Microsoft are doing, Microsoft less so today, but what, you know, like Apple and Google and the Facebook, and, you know, there's every week there's like, what are they doing new? What's going on? You know, nobody talks about that sort of these older long-term lumbering industries. You know, people certainly talk about, you know, well, what's Boeing doing this year, but it's not at the same pace. And they're less, you know, they're less popular, I should say, as this kind of thing. But
yes,
you know, but there are many, many things that to move forward, you really do have to figure out how to take that long-term view and how to spend time and effort on things today that may not pay off for a decade or more.
No, I know. And people just, I just think that that's been lost. I mean, I will say, for all the stuff that I say about Google, I know that they have been doing quite a lot of research on a lot of different things, for example, investing money in that. But
well, and the car, the maps, everything that you listed that's not making money, at least in theory, part of what they're trying to do is they've even got this like life extension group who's working on things to increase the human lifespan, you know. And
there was this stuff about, what the heck was it, to what the heck was it that they would put on a contact lens that they would put in your eye, for example,
to
it would
measure your blood sugar and things like that.
Blood sugar, yeah, right? So
they are, but they're criticized all the time for those projects, including by you.
Including by me. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I think the one thing, I guess my thing about it is, it's just like, I guess, look, to spend a lot of time doing that kind of stuff, and then it almost got him into bankruptcy.
Right.
And the thing is that there's, like with everything, there's got to be a balance between what you do that is fundamental long-term research and also the short-term stuff to bring to market. And companies sometimes just get it, just they just get off kilter. Look, HP was great at doing quite a lot of research and coming up with cool stuff. Okay, all right. It's good. They just, a lot of times in the last few decades, they lost the ability to bring stuff to market. Okay, and that's what they used to be good at. I mean, I was talking about the fact that, look, the reason HP is the rates it is now, HP used to always have a new product, which was the biggest revenue generator, or something that didn't exist the 10 years before. If you looked at the revenue 10 years, you know, if you looked at the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, 50s, 40s, and the history of the company, you know, the products that they were big then didn't exist 10 years before. And if you look at the company now, it's been like the last 15 years, they're living off the same shit, you know, that from the 90s at this point. So, you know, so you can't, You can't just think of yourself and just be doing basic research and doing turning anything into a product. But yet at the same time, you can't be just fucking churning out fucking like, you know, a newer version with a little different plastic bezel and model number two, okay, out in the front all the time and just saying, hey, here's a new thing, you know? It's just there's got to be a balance at some point. Okay, all right.
And of course, the other element of this that we haven't mentioned so far is, of course, government is also a big funder of R&D kind of stuff. But there's all kinds of other issues with government R&D.
Getting attacked, you know? That funding keeps getting attacked all the time.
Well, that funding gets attacked, but even when that funding is in place, there are all kinds of issues about waste and inefficiency and, you know, researching sort of the wrong things and how do you choose what you're researching and is it really the stuff that's of the best value? And often you don't know, of course, which is part of the problem. And one possible role of government-funded research is for the things where, you know, any economic value that's coming out of it is, you know, either so far away that no commercial enterprise would touch it, like we're talking stuff 100 years out, or is just so unclear, like who knows what it'll come up. So there may be a role in that, but there, you know, government also does a bad job at these things too. It's just a whole different set of problems for what works and what doesn't work on the government versus the commercial side of it. But, you know, all in all, the question is between both of these sources, it seems like we're not doing as good a job at sort of really, truly basic research as we used to. But I mean, maybe that's a wrong impression. Maybe it's just distributed differently, but I don't know.
I don't know. I just don't think we are. I mean, I really don't. I don't see any of these. I mean, outside of look, even Apple was doing some research. We're talking about this stuff. Like, for example, I mean, which I thought was interesting. I mean, now that it's come out that, you know, they did try for, you know, to build all this, the sapphire glass for phones, but apparently it was a massive failure. But it was a bold experiment to try to come up with a different material for something, you know.
Right.
You know, that's something that a lot of companies don't take the risk on, you know.
And of course, they have experimented with different materials in the past. I mean, even if you look at the laptops, they've been made out of plastic, titanium, aluminum,
right,
whatever. If you look at the phones, they've been made out of plastic. All kinds of different materials. And so, there is sort of practical real-time experimentation on that too. And, you know, Apple does seem to do a little bit more of it than some other folks, but you know, they've got all kinds of extra cash reserves for,
right,
you know,
they can afford to spend on whatever the hell they want. Bucks, yeah. And mucking around with fucking sapphire glass, and it's not going to fucking impact the bottom line. You know, yeah,
right.
Totally. So anyway, so I guess, you know, that's my thing about, you know, I think that IBM is definitely, and all those, a few of those, definitely not, I don't know, you can't call that a damn, I mean, it's a big consulting services company. It's not a fucking tech company. It really isn't. I mean, there is some tech in there, but they're really more an integrator of the tech than they are really, you know, a builder of anything. So
any other economic comments before we move on and do our Apple products and things like
that? No, that's it.
Nope. Okay. Taking a break. We'll be back after this. And we're here again. And you know, this particular show, I mean, I'm never really that great at it, but I've been really bad this show at, like, you know, opening and closing the breaks in like very similar ways. We'll be right back after this. Okay, we're back. You know, I gotta like figure out how to mix it up, you know.
Everybody else has the same problem. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so Apple last Thursday had another of their little events. We got new iPads, new iMacs, and Yosemite was released, and iOS 8.1 was released. Did I miss anything?
No.
Yep. No Apple TV.
No. They're really disappointed. I got to be honest.
Yeah, I know. I know you were holding out for that.
I have been. I don't understand what the hell they're waiting for. And, I'm not talking about a fucking TV.
Right. You want a little box.
A little box. Yes. I'm really, you know, I really want a new, I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah.
This one's been out for a long time.
Yeah, it's been like multiple years, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so a long, long time. I you'll get one eventually. You'll get one of them.
I know. I mean, I like using mine. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, but I'm just really am looking for some innovation in that space, I guess.
So let's talk about each of the actual things they did release. New iPads. So the mini, pretty much the only difference is they added Touch ID. And the old one is still available without the Touch ID for $100 less. And I've heard a lot of people say that it's not worth it just for the Touch ID. If you are in the market for a mini right now, go ahead and get the older one for the $100 cheaper. I don't know. I like the idea of the Touch ID, but they've also said they didn't upgrade the internals on the mini. So last year, the mini and the full and the iPad Air were
exactly the same.
There were a couple minor differences, but for the most part, you know, same speed, same graphic capabilities, blah, blah, blah. Like I said, there were a couple minor differences. The bigger one was a little bit bigger.
It was a little bit, probably bitter as well, but anyway.
Better. The big one was a little bit better. But for the most part, they were very similar. Now that's no longer true. The big one is clearly the superior machine. So you are giving up something by going to the smaller size. It's not just pick your screen preference and the rest is the same. The bigger one is actually more capable.
Now, here's another thing that I know that didn't happen with the mini versus the new big one. The new big one, they did something which was, I think a lot of people had been wanting for a long time. Basically, they made it that they reduced the glare on the screen substantially so it could be used outdoors
better,
far more easily. Yes. You know, I think that that's a big, big, you know, thing for a lot of people. And I mean, it makes a big difference between the mini and the bigger one.
And the other thing, though, on the big one, they made it a lot thinner.
Yes.
But they did it at the cost of battery life. So you actually
have. I was seeing the tests. They said that the battery life was the same almost everybody that I've seen doing actual tests.
I've seen a number of articles saying you actually were giving up some. So maybe this is still under dispute. I don't know. Maybe it needs more testing. Because I saw the couple of reviews saying you were giving up battery life, and I'm like, I would easily go for a couple extra millimeters.
Yeah, and I will pull it up, but I read today, I was reading a very lengthy test on it, and they said the battery life was about the same. And I...
Hello, Alex. You made a police car out of Lego? Good job. You followed the instructions?
No.
No, you made your own?
Easy. A fancy one.
A fancy one. Okay. Well, I'm still not quite done with Yvonne, so let me finish my podcast, okay? No, don't. You don't have to touch the microphone.
Hi?
Okay. You said hi.
Hey, hi. Hi. Hi.
Say hi, Yvonne.
Hello!
Hi!
You're breathing on the microphone! I think he can breathe.
Yvonne said I was breathing on the microphone and I was.
Yeah, okay. You gotta let us finish.
Geeky, police car build.
Okay, we'll talk to you after.
Opportunity science. Do, 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 do. Echo Cookie also our versus the two egg or egg up. Oh yeah.
That's very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. Yes.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Hi.
Bye.
Hi.
Okay, that's it.
Ah.
Okay.
You finished already?
No, we're not finished.
Ah.
Another few minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
Ba 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 ba.
Information. Okay, we're back. Sorry about the interruption.
We're back. Okay, great.
Now, we were talking about...
Okay, so I actually found the article and confirmed that...
On batteries for iPads.
Okay, specifically here, for commuters and travelers, the good news, the Air 2, despite being 18% thinner than the previous Air, still managed to deliver 10 hours of battery life.
Hmm.
And they said that they tested it. I didn't even take the charger out of the box until after I used the tablet for an entire cross-country flight and then a nonstop morning of checking email and writing.
Okay. I don't have I saw at least one article saying the opposite, but I'll trust what you found.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure, you know, there'll be more reviews, but that's what I had read today. And I know that I'd read it somewhere else. They're about the same thing. So
in that case, my biggest objection goes away. If there's a, you know, and I've said this before in regard to the phone, I would easily accept a slightly thicker phone for better battery life. Like, I understand the fetish about thinness, and I know you specifically really like the thin and the small and fit it in your pocket easily and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I like battery life, and I will, you know...
I will agree. I mean, there's certain things that I make a trade-off for. I stick my phone
in a battery case life. That's huge because I want the extra battery life I get out of it.
Well, I remember in the days back, when the older phones, talking 90s, right? Okay, you know, back then, phones sometimes would last on standby for a few days. Okay, right. All right? So it was very different. I mean, I used to go for the thinner battery because I'm like, well, fuck it, I'm charging it every night. Okay, so I don't need the phone to last like 3 days.
Right.
Okay? You know, that was my thinking back then. You know, for 2 days, I mean, I'm perfectly fine. Now, I will say this, like, currently now, where sometimes, I mean, we're struggling to keep a phone charged all day.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I would go, if you told me that it's going to weigh a little bit more, a little thicker for more battery life, I'm like, okay, I'll take it.
You know? I mean, like, if I don't have my battery case on my phone, and I admit, I am a heavy user. I have it, I have it set to all the push stuff, and I've got all kinds of apps that check things in the background and blah, blah, blah. And I've almost constantly got the thing in my hand. If I'm not actively doing something else, I've got it up. I've got the screen on. If nothing else, I have, like, you know, Twitter open and just streaming the current tweets. Even if I just have it, you know, sitting in a corner doing its thing. So I use it very heavily. But if I don't have my battery case on it, I'll be running out of charge by midday. you know? And wow. So I need to either plug it in or put it or have my battery case or whatever. With the battery case, I can generally make it through the workday.
Well, I will say
although
this.
Even there, I have a plug at my desk, and I plug it in whenever I'm at my desk.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, typically, I mean, I usually have a plug in my car. I plug it in when I get in the car. I have a plug at my desk. I'll plug it in when I'm at my desk. I mean, I try to make sure that whenever
I have plugs freaking ever. And anywhere I spend any significant amount of time, I make sure there's a plug.
Right. You know, I mean, I will go like without one if I, you know, if I'm going around. But anyway, so, okay. So
iMac. So
the
new 5K Retina quality iMac screen.
It looks really nice. I mean, I will say it's quite scintillating. I mean, you know,
upgraded your iMac last year or something, right?
No, it's actually already over 2 years old.
Wow, yeah. Time flies.
I know.
You know, but yeah, I posted about this with regard to the iMac, but also the iPad, also the iPhone. One of the things I have is like, you know, my iMac that I am using right now to record this podcast is getting up there. And it certainly has its issues. And I had intended to replace it last year. And then I intended to replace it this year. But when I actually look at what the hell do I use this thing for, it's basically doing everything I need it to do. And like, I would have a really hard time justifying it, replacing it while it was still functional. I mean, I'm not yet missing anything that I'm like, damn it, I can't do X because I'm on this old machine. Now, at some point, I'm sure there will be something that fits that category where I'm like, you know, I can't even do this thing I want to because I have such an old machine, and then maybe I'll need to upgrade. But, and I mentioned in the post I made on this, I'm not a big gamer, but like one of the games that Alex wants to play definitely strains this machine. It performs horribly at that game. The game just asks too much of this old machine. And if I was a big gamer, I'd already be well past the point that I was like, oh, fuck it. I can't deal with this. I have to get a new computer. But I'm not. You know, I use most of my day-to-day web browsing is on my iPad now. Games are certainly on the iPad now. You know, I use the desktop for recording this podcast, doing some of my website work with, you know, my election stuff and other website stuff, and some email. You know, these aren't particularly taxing applications for the most part. You know, and my 5-ish-year-old machine is okay, it's getting by, you know. And so and with my phone, same thing. The new phones look really, really cool, but my existing phone, which is a 4S, it's a 5, not a 5S.
Jesus.
I'm getting all confused, but it's a 5, not a 5S, so it's two generations behind. And I have been replacing my phones every other generation, but at this point I'm like, you know, it works. It's doing what it needs to. I don't know.
Well, which is one thing that they've been saying about why iPad sales have been, you know, not growing. I mean,
because you don't need a 2-year replacement cycle on iPad.
Right. There's a quarter billion of them sold already. I mean, think about that. I mean, how staggering a number that is. Okay. And just people are like, well, I mean, they last a long time. I mean, you know. Look, I used to remember, like, in the 90s, the early 90s, I used to get, like, whatever the hell new phone AT&T had, whether it was from Nokia, Ericsson, Motorola, whichever. Those fucking things were disposable. They wouldn't last 4 months.
Right.
I mean, Sam went through Trios like people go through, my God, I mean, every freaking, like, I mean, how many Trios did you go through? I lost count.
It was like 6 or something.
Yeah. 6?
Yeah.
I mean, shit. I mean, I've owned a total of, like, in 5 years, 3 iPhones in 5 years. Right. I mean, I would have gone through 5 phones in less than 2 years before. Okay? So,
like I said in my post, like, when my first iPhone was the 3G, right? And then I waited for, and I did not get the 3GS. But by the time the 4 came out, I was really feeling like the 3G was like a problem. It was slow. It wasn't doing everything I wanted to do. I really wanted that 4, you know, and I got the 4 almost as soon as it came out. Now at this point, when the 6 is out, I mean, the 6 is vastly more capable than, you know, the 5 already. It's much better in a variety of different ways, but I don't feel like that compulsion, like, oh my God, I have to.
But by the way, there was a lot of people that did. And I'm I didn't do it either. I mean, don't get me wrong. Not that I wasn't tempted. I mean,
I'm tempted. Like, you know, but it's those, would I, you know, if this thing broke, I'd go out and get a 6 tomorrow.
Right. But it's not broken.
But it's not broken.
Right. And it's not broken. So if it, you know, what the heck?
And I sort of feel like the same way, and I feel like it is expanding. Like the last time I had a computer anywhere near the age that my current desktop is, I was in pain.
Right.
It was painful every time I picked it up or used it. It was a laptop back then. It was painful to use, and I couldn't get anything done, and I was having trouble with it, and there was this and there was that, and I was like, oh my God, I need to upgrade as soon as I possibly can. And you know, I honestly felt that way a year ago when I was on this exact same computer, but Mavericks actually improved it. I eliminated a bunch of stuff off the hard drive and put them on external drives. The performance improved, and it somewhat rejuvenated. Now, it's still slow. It still causes me problems sometimes, but again, it does what I need it to.
You know, that I was talking about disk space and worried about that. You know, I got some cleanup utilities and then some stuff on my hard drive and whatever. I got down. I recovered about how much is it? I think about at least 250 gigs of disk space.
Right.
250 to 300 gigs, I think, of disk space.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like right now, I'm down back to about, I have 417 free gigs of disk space on only a terabyte drive. I had been down to like 170, I think, at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And I mean, and part of this may be, you know, me continuing to age into a more of a curmudgeon. I mean, we've talked about before about when we were young, being compelled to be on the cutting edge of everything and installing the latest betas of everything and making
every
sure we had
beta.
The new thing.
Oh
as soon
my
as it
God,
came out.
Did we install every beta? Hell, you know, even alpha. Fuck it.
Yeah, and whereas now I'm like, yeah, whatever. I mean, there's the nice new shiny thing.
Let me know when it really works.
I can wait, you know. Maybe that's at play too here. But I really think there is something to the fact that these things are being built in such. We haven't made another quantum leap that makes it so that. You know, there are critical key things you just can't do if you don't have the new one. And so as long as you're basically doing, you know, the same kind of things you've been doing, the old one still works. And I think that's gotta have the effect of increasing the replacement cycles, the length of the replacement cycles for all of these devices we're talking about, phones, desktops, laptops, you know, iPads, tablets in general, e-readers for that matter. I mean, it seems like they're, you know, whereas before it seemed like for computers, you know, if you weren't replacing at least every 4 years, you were feeling pain.
Oh, and Jesus, for phones, four? If you weren't, no, the hell with that. It was really more like two. I mean, in the 90s, it felt like 2 years.
Right. And for phones, I mean, 2 years. And, you know, like you said, maybe it was even shorter at one point in time. But
for phones, they never lasted a year. Right, those old phones wouldn't even last a year.
Right. But, you know, it seems like, you know, a few years ago, we were talking 2 years for phones and, you know, 3 or 4 years for computers. And now it seems like, you know, lots of people are able to do 3 years on the phone or maybe 5 years on the computer. And you got to think that at some point that's going to slow down the adoption cycle. But as you said, a lot of people, however, still are like, oh my God, new iPhone's out. I got to buy it.
Oh my God! Yeah, they're rushing out. Yeah. But you know, this is like reflected, I guess, you know, one of the things you see in the used values for phones.
Right.
I mean, you know, hell, I mean, 10 years. I mean, Jesus, like 9 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. Fucking used phone, a year old, it's worth nothing. Fucking right. Trash it. Nobody give you a dime for it. You know. Now you know they're worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. Well,
One more thing before we go. Yosemite.
One more thing.
Yosemite.
Yosemite Sam. Well, I did install it.
I've installed it as well. What do you think?
I mean, you know, it's good. I mean, but I'm not doing wow. I mean, you know, pratfalls. I don't know, or cartwheels about it, but you know, I mean, I probably haven't still like. Exploited all the features.
Have you done the answering your phone on your computer thing yet?
I have. And? By accident.
Yeah. I haven't done it yet. I had one call come through on my computer, but I wasn't there when it happened.
So. Actually, no. I've actually answered more than one. It works perfectly fine. Yep. Okay, all right. I was able to hold on a conversation. My only problem, here's a couple of things about it, okay? Number one, it wouldn't go to my headset. So it would just go through the speakerphone. So I was like trying to, damn it, I don't want it there. I couldn't figure out how to change it. So the other thing is...
And there's got to be a way, but it should be dead simple. It shouldn't be something you have to go digging for.
It's just that there is, I wish there was like a control panel for it.
Right.
And I don't see one. Now, I haven't dug to try to find one. I will admit, but I don't see a control panel somewhere for, okay, you know, phone features. Here we go. And I'm like, so I don't know. I gotta dig at some point to see. Now I will say this, it worked without me doing anything. Right. I thought I was going to have to do something. All of a sudden I'm sitting here, all of a sudden my phone rings and boop, there it is. So, okay, from that perspective, yeah, the control panel, my ass, I mean, it just worked. Okay. Right. Yeah, I mean, it works, but I don't know. I wish I could figure out a little bit more how to control it at this point.
Gotcha. Have you done it? One of the things that my computer may actually be too old for is some of the stuff that lets
you... The handoff. My computer apparently is too old for that, too.
And yours is only like 2 years old.
Apparently, it started being supported by the computers that came out right after I bought mine.
Oh, that's right. You bought yours like a month before the new ones came out or
correct.
Something.
Yes.
So that sucks. So I can't review that feature.
Now, I've
then.
Used the handoff, by the way, between the iPad and the iPhone. It works perfectly fine.
Okay. Yeah.
I've done that. So I've done that a couple of times, and that's working perfectly in my iPad Air and the phone. So I've done that. I didn't try it between the computer and stuff because it says it's not supported. That's what.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's like I mean the phone calls and the texts on your computer are pretty cool, but the handoff is one of the big marquee features, and neither one of us can use it.
But I look. Yeah, on the computer, I mean, I guess. I mean, it would have been nice, but oh well. I mean, I'm not going to buy a new computer over that.
I agree with you in general. And this is like Mavericks was last year, where it's a nice update. It's got a few cool new things. Like with Mavericks, you know, for me, the big thing was the multi-screen support.
There's always continuous improvement.
This isn't an oh my God, this is amazing.
Apple is trying not to do some of the mistakes that were done not just by Apple
by Microsoft.
By Microsoft themselves by leaving like for example XP out there before a real upgrade for what 8 years. Okay, you know.
Well,
had those problems.
And then Microsoft goes and does this update that completely changes everything and disorients everybody and makes
everybody
confused.
Everybody's like, what the fuck? What did you just do? You know, it's like, yeah.
So instead we've got minor incremental improvements all over the place.
And there's a lot of things being done in the plumbing. Look,
yeah, there are a lot of plumbing changes here too.
The browsing speed. I will say this: that the browsers, the Safari is substantially faster than the old one. Okay, and there's actually benchmarks out there that came out that that's showed that it is.
Right.
Okay. So that's something that's, you know, a usability thing that you notice right away. You know, I, you know, like I said, I mean, it's just, you know, that worked. The thing with the phone and me getting my message notifications, you know what? I can't find a control panel, but to be honest, it was just started working without me doing anything. I was just sitting here. I didn't set up anything. All of a sudden, I just saw freaking, oh, look, I got a text message. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Remember, I don't have text notifications turned on my phone. So therefore, like, that was just kind of interesting that I was working away on a computer and I saw the message flash.
And I got something. Yeah. So that's good. Anyway, I guess we're wrapping it up. The one thing I forgot to mention on the, when we were discussing Twitter and the Twitter clients and ads before, I just should mention that the third party Twitter client that I happen to use at the moment is Tweetbot. I use it on the Mac, on the iPad, and on the iPhone. That's my client of choice. There are a bunch of third party ones out there. But that seems to be one of the big ones that lots of people use, and I've been very happy with it. And so I recommend it to people who can use Tweetbot. That's it. Thank you guys for joining us for yet another Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com or contact us on Twitter. I'm at abelsmay and Yvonne is at imbo. We love it when you tell your friends about the show. And I guess, you know, anything else, Yvonne? That's about it, right?
No, we're done. We've made a long show.
Okay, have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.